In association with Newsarama, welcome to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. All right, kids, it's time for part one of the Bendis tapes. Brian Michael Bendis joins me for a great conversation as we take questions and answers from the Jinx World message board, discussing his past, present, and future works, both creator-owned and for Marvel. We're going to get to the conversation in just a second, but first, a couple quick show notes. You may have heard the news about John Ostrander, the great writer of such DC classics as The Kents, Suicide Squad, Martian Manhunter, and also his wonderful work on Grimjack for First Comics and IDW and the Comic Mix website, and current work as well in the Star Wars universe for Dark Horse. He's been there for well over a decade. Well, John has been battling glaucoma and recently had several surgeries done and has incurred some pretty lengthy hospital bills. And the Hero Initiative and a website called Comics Foresight is joining forces and trying to raise funds for John. Now, there's going to be a big auction at Chicago Comic-Con in that first weekend of August. So if you go to the convention, make sure you want to check out the details of the auction as they become known. The website to check everything out is a website called Comics Foresight, C-O-M-I-X, the number 4, site.com. Go to the website, it'll give you all the details, and at the bottom of the page, there is a PayPal donation tab. If you can add $3 to PayPal, think of it as one extra book this week for John Ostrander, one of the really great creators out there, and I really think that would be a nice gesture. So if you can't attend the auction, maybe you'll consider giving a donation. Again, the website is comicsforesight.com. Our best wishes to John Ostrander, his friends and family. We will continue to bring you details on the auction in future episodes of Word Balloon. Otherwise, I wanted to make an announcement that Word Balloon has created our own YouTube channel at youtube.com/wordballoon. There's already a couple videos up there. I've been messing around with my BlackBerry Storm, and whenever I'm at a comics event, I try to shoot a little video and make it ready for a YouTube clip. There have already been a couple up there. It's at youtube.com/wordballoon. Feel like subscribing? That would be great. Otherwise, just check out the clips individually. And there's already several new clips coming up in the days ahead. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you'll save up to 40% off the standard retail price on hardcovers, trade paperbacks, absolute editions, omnibus editions, essentials, archives, comic strip collections, you name it. If it's a book about comics, you'll likely find it at InStockTrades.com. You'll find several of the new Avenger volumes from Brian Michael Bendis on sale at InStock Trades, along with plenty of other titles. Given that we're talking a lot about the Avengers today, how about focusing on Secret Invasion New Avengers books, Volume 8 and Volume 9. The standard retail price is $14.99. At InStockTrades.com, you'll get them for $9.44. How about the beautiful Ultimate Spider-Man hardcover collections? Volume 9, The Ultimate Clone Saga, and Ultimate Knights. The standard retail price is $39.99, but at InStockTrades.com, just $25.19. Don't forget, you get free shipping on orders of $50 or more. It's all waiting for you at InStockTrades.com. Welcome to the Bendis Tapes. It's John Suntress and Brian Michael Bendis here at the Jinx World Forum as we go through the list of Q&As that have been posted. And I have to say, they were posted in less than 24 hours. I thought we'd have at least a window of one or two, maybe 3 days.
It's cute that you always think that.
I'm, you know, that's
nice. You always
nice.
Think that it's going to be some slow going, man. This, hey, listen, this ain't Jeff Johns' board. Shit's happening over here.
Nice.
This is a Jinx World, man. We're a force to be reckoned with.
You're right.
I got peers of mine cower at the idea that my board may turn on them one day.
Unbelievable.
I go to dinner with my guys. All they talk about is how scared they are of fake Pat.
Fake Pat.
Fake Pat, if you're listening to this, seriously, cut it out. I want to ban you. The only thing that keeps me from banning him is John Byrne. Because that, to me, that's the road you don't want to go. Like, if you start banning people just because you don't like the look
then
of
you're,
them.
Then you're John Byrne.
Then, okay. Then you've gone down the John Byrne road, and it's a road you cannot reclaim. You cannot go back. I feel he puts me at the fork of the road. I'm at the crossroads.
Recalling what I learned from the HeroesCon panel with the next generation of writing talent, be Walt Simonson, don't be John Byrne.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But if Fake Pat is my... Is my crossroads. Every board has one. That guy who he never does anything to break the rules, but boy, oh boy.
He's riding that line.
And I like the one button and it's gone.
Nice.
But I never do it. Every day I wrestle with that demon.
Unbelievable. Excellent.
Every time I get a meh, I just, oh, I do.
You're killing
I'll
me.
I'll meh you off the board. Anyway.
Well, we have plenty of questions. Well over 100.
Before we do the questions, though, I do know that when you run this on Newsarama,
yes,
or Newsarama,
yes,
depending on your accent, I noticed that you pick headlines.
I try to.
Do you think are the most scintillating things that will get people to download?
Yes.
So instead of you randomly picking them, I have pre-written headlines for you.
Please.
That you have to run.
Okay.
And I will be peppering them throughout the podcast. I'll start with a couple.
Okay.
And then you can run them as your headlines.
My memory sucks, so you will provide
me
with...
No, here, I'll give you a couple. You can just run these. You just run these, too.
Go right ahead.
I found out recently that I am Gail Simone's biological father.
Okay.
That's a headline you can run.
All right.
And that she's my biological mother, so it's very confusing.
It's like
in a Kentucky kind of way,
or like Spock in Star Trek or whatever right now.
Okay.
All right.
And,
nice. Thank you.
Don't nerd me.
All right.
And also, there was a poll on Comic Buyer's Guide that they're not running, but I was voted best ass in comics. As in my ass, not that I am an ass, but I have the finest ass in comics.
Okay.
And I'm very, they didn't run it, and I'm very, very, not, I'm not even reading that thing anymore.
Who came in second?
John Byrne.
Did they bounce quarters off your ass to, like, test it or whatever?
Yeah. No, they just, you know, people just saw, and they went, wow.
Fabulous.
The heroes come, there's people transfixed by it. Yeah.
Excellent.
It's the bike riding. I'm not saying it just happens naturally. I'm not one of these people that pretends that work doesn't go into it. But
you do look like you've lost weight, not that you needed to.
Yeah.
By the way, a great job.
Great comics, we all need to, except for Greg Horn.
Great job on Sound of Young America with Jesse Thorne. Very interesting.
Now that was a real podcast.
Wow. Man, flipping you off right now, my friend. Wow.
That would be, to be in the hands of professionals like that was such a nice...
Now, but I do have to put a qualifier on it because I like the way how Jesse has had other comic book people on, but tried to be just enough mainstream to say, yeah, I'm not really sure about these comics. I mean, I forget the exact quote, but I'm like, hey, Jesse, it's pretty clear that you read comics. Get in the dirt with the rest of us, man.
I get that weird feeling. I get that a couple times where people, like, I was very honored that he invited me because he had people on that I really admire. And literally, it was like a block from my house. We're in town, and at the corner of your house, I will be doing a live show. Would you like to come? So that was cool.
That's very good.
But what's funny is that they had me sitting in the green room for 45 minutes. I'm like, actually, I should be home checking my email. And you just call me, I can walk over. But yeah, it is weird that sometimes you're not sure the level of nerd.
Yeah.
And they give off the one vibe, and you go, okay, I'll do this. And then you come in, and he's done his research, and... You're, like, happy that they've done the research, but you didn't expect it.
No, it was, and it really is a great interview. It's available both as video and audio. But I like the video because he acknowledges Jinx World, too, and says it's a very active website and that they demand that you answer even the most minute question.
Yes.
As evidenced by...
He was jealous. I could tell he was a little jealous of the Jinx World. That was nice.
But, yeah, MaximumFun.org, if you've never gone to their website, and the Sound of Young America, I mean this, and I'm getting nothing from them for saying this, excellent podcast, truly one of my favorite shows.
As opposed to what you're getting from this?
Yeah. Yeah, really. So, and have you checked out Kevin Pollak's podcast, by the way?
I have.
Nice. Have you really?
I didn't care for it as much as you did.
You know, and after five listens, I've liked it slightly less. I still like it. I think he panders too much to the cameras. I like Adam Carolla's better.
I'm not an Adam Carolla guy. He's on Stern a lot, so I think I got my fill of him.
That, to me,
I won't give him this, man. He doesn't quit. No matter how many formats he fails miserably in, he...
Well, you know, he's getting 500,000 downloads for the podcast, and I think he's going to be smart and not charge it like Ricky Gervais did, so I think he might be okay.
All right.
All right, without further ado, that's enough of a warm-up.
No, but, I want more podcast nerd talk.
Actually, I do want to ask right at the start because we mentioned Heroes Con. You want to tell people what a wonderful time you had?
I had a wonderful time. I did. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. It's 130 fucking degrees there.
Okay.
And if you walk from the con to your hotel, which is a block, you literally have to pull off your soaking wet clothes.
Wow.
Yes. And a lovely, awesome... a reader came up with a Chick-fil-A gift certificate, handed to me on a Friday. I had 3 days to get myself to Chick-fil-A. I could not find one.
I was going to say, do they have them down there?
They had
obviously
them.
Obviously, they do.
According to Google Maps, the entire city is a Chick-fil-A. I just was unable to find
that's too bad, huh?
A counter.
Okay, because I know it had been like 10 years or whatever since your last HeroesCon, correct?
Many more than 10, like 11. But everyone's really, really nice.
Cool.
And it was nice just sitting there with Ivan and Matt and Ed and everybody. David Mack was there. We had a good time just sitting around. And everyone was cool.
Excellent. And
genuinely cool. Like, it was awesome.
If you go to dollarbin.com, there is a great podcast of the New Generation panel that we were talking about.
So. Yeah, that went well. There was the Marvel panels had a good atmosphere to them, not just from the creators, but from the people sitting there.
Cool.
So, and I heard that not all the panels were like that, so I was glad that people had such a good time.
Very cool.
I'm always that's the most nerve-wracking thing. We've talked about this in the past. I spend so much of my time alone in my basement or talking to toddlers that getting on stage and not shitting my pants in and of itself is an achievement.
Seriously?
It's not. We were alone in a room.
That's
a whole different muscle, you know, going out and saying weird stuff.
Right.
You'll notice in the beginning of the podcast, Ed can't shut up for 10 minutes. He doesn't seem to realize there are people looking at him.
I got that vibe at WonderCon, too.
All
right.
He's unaware.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all right, well, let's begin. These are questions that
Hopefully Matt Brady will run the one he hosted. I don't know why he hasn't. Yes, I do. But
I'm stunned. I'm stunned that he hasn't
posted anyhow. See, there was a panel we did where Fraction started to question Brady about some of his website practices and the community of Newsarama, and it was a very interesting conversation that I don't know where it came from. I was as shocked as anybody, but and Matt got into it with him. It was a pretty good derailment. It was close to the Joe Buck Artie Lang derailment of a thing. So if you get a chance to listen on Dollar Bin, it's interesting, and Matt Brady should run it so the Newsarama community can comment.
I saw nothing wrong with the Matt Brady Fraction and all
no,
exchange.
No, I didn't see anything wrong other than the fact that it was completely off topic from the point
right.
of view.
Right. Well, yeah.
It was nice that Brady was hosting the thing and he clearly didn't want to hear it.
All right. Well,
yes.
Listen to it for yourself and judge. But we will move on to our questions, which begin with Dr. Blasphemy.
Who, by the way, I found out is not a real doctor.
Oh, that's disappointing. Okay.
It is disappointing because there's something wrong with my knee. I do him and he had nothing.
Why don't you go to Dr. Voodoo? Take 2 shrunken heads and call me in the morning.
Thank you.
He's Dr. Voodoo now. That's even Dr. more Voodoo. Exciting.
Well, he was a doctor.
Of what? I guess,
yeah, psychology. Excuse me, read your handbook. Who are you talking to?
I know. That's why I'm asking.
Dr. Jericho Drum. Dr. Voodoo. Thank you.
All right. I still like Brother Voodoo, but all right. That's fun.
Because you're living in the 70s.
Exactly. Dr. Blasphemy. Abendus, right. You asked recently who we thought would be a good casting choice for Jinx. Who would you cast for the main roles of the movie if you could choose?
Clearly, if I could think of a name, I wouldn't have asked you guys.
Columbia would be a hard choice. That fucker was ugly. Which Columbia?
Yeah, I'll get it because it was based on me.
Okay.
That would be Evan Handler. But, the Jinx, the package, the Jinx film package is up and running again.
Good.
And we have a director, and we've moved on. The Charlize aspect of it is no longer part of the equation. And so I was asked to put together a list of actresses that I thought would be interesting for Jinx. I could come up with nobody who was born in the last 3 decades. So I went to the board. I hate to do that only because I goof on Mark Millar for doing it.
Okay.
But I really needed to put together like 10 names, and I couldn't think of 2. So the board was extremely helpful.
Did you like
putting
my
together?
I suggested.
What
Carrie,
was yours? What was yours?
Carrie,
was Doris Day.
No, Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell's all right. You know what? she did the. I'll tell you what I did.
You don't have to patronize me. All right, fine.
All right. No. In Mission Impossible 3.
That's what I was thinking.
She was acting action-y. She did the Christian Bale Batman voice. She did the female version of it. Get on the plane! You know, she was, you know.
Well, I thought it was because there were loud gunfire going on, but all right, I'll accept that. I thought she looked cool.
No, she did, she looked okay because, but
All right.
It looked cool, like Kelsey Grammer kind of looked cool, like as a beast, you know?
Yeah, that's very nice.
It wasn't embarrassing. That's all about right. It. That's about it, where it could have been. But no, like Emily Blunt was a good one. And,
okay. Ooh, I like Emily Blunt.
Yeah, Emily Blunt is, that was one that I went, oh, that's a name I like that I would not have thought of.
And she's dark like Jinx is, too. No, that's very good. That's much more. Yeah, no,
and
I can see that.
If you catch her extended cameo in
Charlie Wilson's War.
Charlie Wilson's War. Holy shit.
No shit. Yes, there's somebody that can wear underwear well.
Yeah, she can.
Goddamn. All right.
Anyway.
Excellent. Okay, well, that was.
Thank you, board, for helping me do my homework that I should have done on my own.
Moving on to Zorn from Berlin.
Zorn.
News on new creator-owned projects with Maliv, or is that done with you guys doing Spider-Woman? Or are there plans for another creator-owned title in the near future?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not announcing stuff because I hate to announce something until it's done. I am doing, here's the creator-owned situation. In November, we are launching, this is a locked date. November is Power's 10th anniversary, believe it or not. And we are launching Volume 3, Number 1, brand new Number 1, double size Number 1, in November, monthly, for at least 2 months. No, there's quite a few issues in the can. So we'll be monthly. Starting in November, not only are you going to get the double size issue, we're going to get the third hardcover. And the encyclopedia all are being solicited in November through Icon Marvel. And then in December will be the Color, Fortune, and Glory, as promised last year. And that will start a library of cool-looking hardcovers that will match, that will be the library, that will include Jinx and Goldfish and Torso. They will match, and they will be awesome. And they will be coming out throughout the year. Now, on top of that, Mike Oeming and I are working on a brand new creator-owned project.
Oh, really?
Alex and Maliv are working on a creator-owned project.
Cool.
And I have two more actively being written, hopefully for, depending on the artists, you know, the artists are all working on other projects. It's a problem, but everyone's committed to putting out creator-owned material this calendar year, starting in December throughout the year. I will be focusing very much on creator-owned material, some miniseries, some one-shots, and some stuff that has more length to it. But, this is long overdue. I've been working on this stuff, some of it for years, and I'm now to the point where I'm mad at myself for not putting out more stuff over the last couple of years. It was creator-owned, but I was doing the events, and they took up a lot of time. You want to do them right. And I feel I've done them, but now the literally notebooks full of creator-owned stuff and notes and scripts that I've been writing on in my free time will be seeing the light of day, and they will be gorgeous and awesome and relatively new and will span the genres.
So with that in mind, does that mean that your Dark Reign involvement, because it sounds like you're like a de facto editor of this list, annual series?
No, I came up with the idea of it. Tom is the editor. I pitched the idea and it stuck to the wall. So
okay,
I am the Dark Reign thing is very, very important to me, and we're working very hard on it. What we're trying to do is break that. We've kind of mastered the event format. Here's the prologue. Here's the epilogue. Here's the series. Here's the tie-ins. It was cool because it was new, and it was new in House of M, and then it was kind of mastered in Civil War. It was put together the best on Civil War, but then I think it was actually mastered on Secret Invasion. I think Secret Invasion was the best version of it. You know,
I would agree.
And so, hold on a second.
Sure.
My internet just came on.
Oh, congratulations.
Woo!
Welcome
Tomcast.
Back.
Tomcast, it's been out for 2 hours, you sons of bitches. Anyway, Tomcast, not only are they Monopoly, they're annoying. So,
All right, obviously not a sponsor of the Bendis Tapes.
What?
Yeah. No, anyway.
What's happening with Dark Reign is we're trying to fight the cliche and deliver awesome stories and big talent and we got the whole thing mapped out, and I'm thrilled that it's stuck to the wall so nicely. Like, everything we're pitching is going well, and all the product's very high quality. So
I agree, and believe me, I'm not looking for negative, but I was wondering how long the event would sustain, or the status quo would sustain itself.
How long did the Clone Saga go? Because we're going to do like a month longer.
Well, that's exactly, honestly, you know, that obviously that's the worst example. So
No. There's an end game. There's,
okay.
There's a planned end game, and it ends next Thursday, a week from Thursday.
All right. Very cool. Zorn also wants to know about the possible return date for Powers.
November. How about November? I can't. I'm telling you right now, that is locked.
Okay.
That is done.
And
ages in the catalog are set aside.
Okay.
Just such a solicitation.
And what about the Powers pilot on FX? Any news?
Going out January. July 9th. I am meeting the strong candidate to be the showrunner of the show.
Cool.
And I will tell you the name off the air, and you'll go, ha ha ha. But as soon as it's locked, I will brag.
All right.
Long and hard.
The goddamn Schweitz.
I got two words for you. Beverly Hills Bordello.
Excellent, man. Oh, what happened to Hot Hits Hotel or whatever? Hot Chicks
Line.
Hotel.
Hotline.
The goddamn Schweitz.
Last call. Get it to bar and they fuck. Anyway.
Not
that I watch that stuff all the time.
Guys, thanks for doing this again. Planning on working with John Romita Jr. anytime soon?
I would love to, you know. He's busy.
Man. Yes, he is.
He's got projects, and I was very jealous that Rick Remender got him for the list, but I got Marco Dukasiewicz's. So
both very cool. Didn't Marco do the Morgan Le Fay scenes in the
He did, but
Mighty?
I wanted to do something.
Oh, sure, but I'm just saying, you've worked with him before and did good
it's
stuff.
It's a little. It's a taste. It's a, you know, it's an ass grab. It's not really getting into it. It was like five pages.
Let's see. And then you've just told us what we should what should we be looking forward to, let's say, for your Marvel books in the upcoming months that you can mention?
I'm very excited about almost everything that's coming out except for this podcast. I'm excited for
You Hurt, You Heal, you know.
Oh, I do. I am doing the following.
Okay.
The Ultimate Spider-Man relaunch.
Yes.
It starts in August. I'm excited for the next issue of Requiem. The ship, people really were digging the Requiem, sold out, going back to print.
Yes, it is.
Bagley back on the Ultimate Spider-Man for a little bit. And but I can tell you that the David LaFuente issues of Ultimate Spider-Man are sweet.
Excellent.
They're awesome. And I show them to my friends, and they'll go, ah, oh, because it's finding someone who's delivering someone new. It's a new voice. It's something new to say. It's awesome. So that's very exciting. Stuart Immonen on New Avengers. Very, 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 very happy about this. I can't even tell you. And shortly, I believe even this week, Marvel will be announcing the launch date for Spider-Woman Motion Comic, which has taken a lot of time and effort to do it right and do it well. And it came together, and it's sweet and it's awesome. It's completely different from any motion comic you've seen so far. And it will take you at least three views to even comprehend the awesomeness of what's been accomplished.
Will that be on a monthly schedule when it starts?
I believe.
Or close as possible?
Quicker than monthly. I believe the idea is to have it out
weekly.
Not weekly, but I saw the schedule was I think hourly.
Because
so you're really going to have to like. Quit work or something, or give up your relationship and just stay at iTunes and wait for it to pop up.
Wow, that's kind of like Ed on Angel of Death.
Yes.
When it was on Crackle.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
Timmy Wood.
My favorite episode of Angel of Death was the one with Larry Sanders in it.
I just like the knife in her head. I thought
that
was
awesome.
By the
way, that's a headline for Newsarama that you should run.
All right, there we go.
All right.
Timmy Wood, first of all, I want to say how much I love Word Balloon. John, you do a great job on the interviews. Thank you, sir. This is the first time I've posted a question for the Bendis tape, so here we go. What is the best constructive criticism you've gotten, whether it be from an editor, a review, or even a colleague?
I take heartfelt criticism very, very seriously, and I'm very grateful to my friends and my creative friends that I can rely on to look me in the eye and tell me what's going on. But most of the criticism or ideas of criticism that I take with me on a daily basis are stuff I've read in interviews by people who I worship and admire, that whether or not it actually has anything to do with me, I've decided it has something to do with me. And the one piece that really rings in my head all the time is Scorsese said that when he's done putting a movie together, he shows it to anyone he can show it to. And if there's a scene and, like, seven people have a problem with the scene and it's different problems, they can't, like, not, they're not even having the same problem, then there's something wrong with the scene. And it doesn't matter what you intended. It matters what the end result is. And it doesn't matter how genius you think you are. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And to listen. And that haunts me every single day of my life. That, you know, because your instinct, a lot of people's creative instinct is to go, I meant to do that. Fuck you. You don't understand me. I'm so beyond you. You don't even know. But, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So I'm grateful that the editors at Marvel and Joe Quesada in particular, I know I can rely on them not to just let me do whatever the hell I want, but to say, hey, that works, that doesn't work. And when I get a compliment from them, I know it's extremely heartfelt. And when I get a critique, I know it's equally. So that's how I live. That's how I roll. And I know that there are people who were in the position I'm in, whatever that position is. I believe it's Mastermind. And who did not take criticism well and are no longer actually doing anything for a living. So I think that there's a lesson right there.
He says thanks for doing this and loves the books and keep them coming. Timmy Wood.
Thank you, and thank you for posting Zorn on my MySpace page every 10 minutes. Yes, he does.
Tommy Melanson, who wins in the ultimate battle royale between Chick-fil-A and Five Guys?
That's not even a – I saw this question before. I was offended by it. Chick-fil-A is like not even in the same species of awesomeness as Five Guys, which is okay. Five Guys is okay. Chick-fil-A is awesome.
Interesting.
It's chicken dipped in sugar. What could you possibly want more from life?
Dr. Finger.
And it's not even, and they don't leave any part of the chicken out. They got the beak, the stick,
the feet.
The feet, everything is right. Churned up into the nugget size.
Jesus awesome. Christ. Dr. Finger. I believe I saw him recently.
He is a doctor, by the way, this guy.
Truly?
Yeah, no.
Roughly how, and you mentioned that Dark Reign is kind of set up, I'm assuming, in the classic three-act sense. He wants to know how far we are in the overarching story of Dark Reign.
Well, no. See, we're talking about fighting the cliche. Most stories have the three-act structure. We have 17 acts, and we are in act two.
There'll be four intermissions. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're halfway there and living on a prayer.
Brent. Hi, guys. Thanks. Hi, guys. Thanks for doing these. Love to listen to them as I work. That's very nice. We should be giving you a full 8 hours of programming, I think, when we're done, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're looking at a long one this time, Pally. My question for Brian is, how often do you make it to a comic shop? Lately, it seems like every creator interview I read, the popular response is that many of them don't read comics anymore. Personally, I don't think that's very healthy for our industry, and was wondering on what your thoughts are on creators not reading comics. So those are two questions.
Well, I actually Twittered about this not 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the reason you probably don't remember is because you're too busy, and by you, I mean the world is too busy yelling at me for calling Michael Jackson a unconvicted child molester. But that's neither here nor there. I do agree with you full force. I do know some comic creators, not ones that are friends of mine, but I do run into people who do not read comic books or don't particularly seem to like them or stopped reading them once they started making them, like they had nothing else to learn. And most of them are quite shocked that they don't get the same response to their books that other people do. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
And I find it very, more or less arrogant is the word, is that you think that only your books are good, or it's very odd to me. And I think it's too bad. You know what I mean? And I, but it's funny. I see without the reader even knowing who these people are, they're reacting to their comic books in kind. Now, I'm not saying their comic books should be your only be-all, end-all, but if you're working in the medium, you should love it. If you're a musician, you should really be looking out for awesome new music. And if you're in film, you should be running to the theater to see the best new films that are out.
That's what I was thinking. And also, yeah. I can kind of understand the concern of, I want my ideas to be fresh, and I don't want to subconsciously...
No, that's fine, yeah. And I got to tell you, there are certain creators I can't read while I'm working because I will be affected.
I understand.
And I want to be pure. And I've said in the past, like Mike Mignola is someone, when I was drawing, I would have to not look at Mike Mignola because I would just draw like him, and I didn't want to do that, you know? But you should be as in love with the medium and not force yourself. You should really love the medium as much as you did when you were coming up as you do now. And if you don't, you should really look at why you're even still doing this.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'm a every Wednesday guy. I go to the comic store every Wednesday and pick up the new stuff. I buy stuff I'm pretty much sure I'm going to get for free anyhow in a month, but I don't want to wait a month.
Cool.
And creators like Jeff Loeb and Fraction and Ed and who read their comics every week. And, man, no one loves comics more than Jeff Loeb. You know, I'm going to give the guy a little shout-out without a joke. I mean, because he's such a... not pain in the ass is the word I'm looking for, but, you know, he's such a ball buster that you're
Absolutely.
Almost shocked every time he references the fact that he's reading everything the day it comes out. And I really like that about him,
and I
do think that that's one of the reasons he's been on top of the heap for so long, is that his love of the medium has not dwindled at all. So there you go.
Very cool. Brent, by the way.
And again, it's important to look outside the medium for influence, but I'm talking about love of the game.
Brent, by the way, is Brent Schoonover, who is a very good indie guy who did a great series called Astronaut Dad with David Hopkins. And I know he's been doing a few Marvel cards for, I forget who puts them out, sketch cards and stuff. And that, I don't know if you're looking at the page right now, but that's his Hulk that's in his
Oh, yeah,
post.
I have internet. I can go look at it now.
That's what I figured.
All right.
So,
I will do that.
Brent is a fine creator and a good guy. So
I can also go play Ghostbusters when we're done.
Is that Bill Murray on the Ghostbusters?
No, it is. No. Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, no, it's him.
I thought I heard that.
And they needed him.
Okay, because
you can't do it without him.
Absolutely. And someone had told me that he didn't do it. The cool thing is it Rick Moranis?
I haven't gotten to Rick Moranis yet. I heard it is Rick Moranis. I heard it's everybody but Sigourney Weaver and
right.
Melissa Milano.
I heard that too. Yes, she took her
doing
part
it instead of her. And so, yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Adrian, be awesome, ladies and gentlemen.
They got Annie Potts. She's doing two Ghostbusters, but they didn't do Ghostbusters. What do you want? I couldn't believe it. I had to go to all the effort to slap together this game and not have her say, what do you want?
That's a good point. Hey, John. Hey, B. Any updates on Daredevil End of Days or whatever it's going to be called?
I'm very happy to tell you that even without your reminding me here that just 2 weeks ago I called Warren Simons, our editor, and said the fact that this book has not come together in a more professional manner was embarrassing to me personally, and that I was thinking about it. There was Bill Sienkiewicz at Heroes, and I'm thinking about the fact that the reason I haven't jumped up and down about getting this book finished, I think it's because me and David like to tell everyone we're working with Bill Sienkiewicz and Klaus Janson, and so as long as we can keep that, just to say it out loud, like I've been working with him for years, but no, it will come out this year, both Marvel and myself and everyone are kind of rallying the troops. What happened was, in this particular project, Everyone agreed, but everyone was in the middle of other projects as well, and then were offered other projects on top of this.
Okay.
So, and this particular project wasn't like didn't need to ship in a timely fashion, where World War Hulk, what Klaus was working on, and other things did, and things just derailed from there. But the pages that exist are amazing. Klaus Janson pencils, Bill Sienkiewicz inking. I can't. Everyone who sees them is amazed by them. So we're getting back to it very quickly because it's ridiculous that it hasn't shipped.
Back to, he had another question, Adrian did. On a more recent edition of the Loeb Report, in fact, the last one, Jeff said, more and more we're seeing guys who are just completely conflicted with being heroes. And my take on that is go home. While I don't see you completely disagreeing with that statement, what is your take on the conflicted superhero, such as Daredevil, who Loeb spoke a bit about in the interview? John, feel free to clarify as you see. Yeah, because what Jeff said specifically was he loves what you and Brubaker have done and following in the template that Frank Miller has put out there, but he thought that if he were to get back on Daredevil, he would like to return him back to the happy swashbuckler that he also has been portrayed as. And you know, you can see that in the character in terms of it was the powers that liberated him from his handicap, and he can only really be himself fully out there using his powers when he's Daredevil. So why wouldn't he be happy swinging around and being happy and stuff?
Well, if I get on the Red Hulk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn him into like a Chippendale dancer who is having trouble with his relationships outside of work. He doesn't see the connection between his job and his relationships, and, you know.
I look forward to it.
See, so we all have our issues. No, but I think that every writer should follow the muse that the things that inspire them, you know.
Sure.
Jeff absolutely should do a run on Daredevil and do that thing he's talking about. And I agree, and I actually try to do a swashbuckling couple of arcs within the craziness of our run. The Black Widow one was supposed to be a harken back to a funner situation. If you just did, you know, the brooding, melancholy thing over and over again, it gets tiresome.
Sure.
So we bounced back and forth quite a few times. People only remember the heavier stuff because we went heavier than you usually see.
How well do you know?
No, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer here. I think that you got to do what you're feeling and you're good.
Sure.
Yeah, no?
No, I would agree. And that's why I'm like, that's as valid of a Daredevil
Spider-Man,
as yours is. Yeah.
I mean, I've written Spider-Man for 680 issues now. And,
yes.
And he's always, you know, he's like, I don't know if I want to be here. No, I'm going to do this no matter what.
Well, and yeah, and now the Adrian's word.
Now that he's dead.
Yeah. And Adrian used the word conflicted, and that's fine. It's okay, Adrian. Obviously, in that word is conflict, and obviously that's the heart of most stories, so.
Yes.
You know. Ryoto, who do you want to play Walker in a live-action Powers project?
John Sutris.
I would love
brooding,
that.
Brooding, simmering.
I'd have to do some sit-ups, but I am willing to try.
All right.
What about Trip Hammer?
Huh? Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't have a person in mind for Powers, and I'm probably going to play all the parts myself. That's what I'm going to LA next week to tell
Excellent.
Them. Because I think it's obvious that that's the answer. It's right in front of our faces the whole time.
Sure.
But
Spillane did it with Mike Hammer.
The one idea from the movie stuff that I liked, and I don't remember if it was Frank Oz or one of the writers. I honestly can't remember. But someone had this idea that all the superheroes and suspects should be like these action stars from yesteryear. You know,
like Jan Michael Vincent?
Yeah, well, it's even like they're kind of doing that. Like Stallone or Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like,
that's
they're
cool.
They're kind of doing it in that Expendables movie where all these, like, you know, they're not done, but they're almost done. Action heroes
sure.
are teamed up to be like this super team or something. So, but I thought it was an interesting idea to have, like, you know, even like Lucy Lawless or, you know, all these people who play superheroes of some sort in the medium. You know, a few years down the line, you know, reprising a version of their
iconic selves. Yeah. No, that's cool.
So I would like to do that. Of course, I'm out of my mind, and I don't have any ability to pull that off, but in my head, that's the awesome idea.
Well, yeah, if you had the never-ending budget, that would be cool.
Sure,
you know. That's very cool. By the way, have you seen JCVD yet?
No.
Neither have I, and I hear it's amazing.
I don't
amazing.
Think I've seen anything he's been in since Time Cop, and I think I made a rule that I stuck to. That will continue.
That used to be my rule, too, but I keep hearing these amazing things about JCVD, and I'm like, all right, I eventually I'm going to have to see that because I hear too many good things.
I made the Michael Bay rule, too, and I've broken it, and it's very upsetting.
Did you see the second one?
I think I stood up in Pearl Harbor, and I said, I bow to you to this day. Never again shall I sit through a Michael Bay movie on purpose. Never again. And then my kid fell in love with Transformers, and you do what you got to do.
So did you see this?
I have not seen two yet, but okay. My kids pace in the room to get through it. We were just... I'll wait for a rainy day. I'm not ruining a nice sunny day. And,
you know, can I? Because I'm slightly older. Transformers did nothing for me as a toy, and I am proud to, or not proud to say, because I do hear that the first one's okay, or at least entertaining.
No, it's not. It's dumb piece of
then
shit.
Then I won't see it. You see, that's why I stayed away.
For my daughter's six. She thinks it's great, and
sure.
Hilarious.
Sure.
But you know.
But I hate Shia LaBeouf. So yeah,
No. If you hate Shia LaBeouf and you hate toys, I
don't hate toys. I just did nothing for
you. You get a chance. You got a on the riff tracks, riff tracks, and the
yeah, yeah. I love those things. Absolutely.
The opening credit card, the credit on Transformers is a Hasbro production, and the opening joke is that's all the Academy needed to hear.
That's awesome. Okay. Are you committed to New Avengers at least through issue 100? You're doing an excellent job and have taken the Marvel Universe changes into the book with no real sense of disjointedness.
No, I'm committed to the Avengers franchise for the long foreseeable future.
Very cool.
Yeah, I enjoy writing that book as much as anything I'll ever get to do, and I do sometimes look around and see... is there anything else I want to do? And I go, no, I get to do it here. Like, if I want to do a magic story, oh, I can do it in Avengers. If I want to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I get a big chunk of the toy box to play with unencumbered, and we had a retreat a little while ago, and I came in with my Avengers plans going into the new year, and everything was approved wholeheartedly, so I feel very good. Everyone liked the ideas. They weren't just, you know, all right, great, whatever. You know, they were like, oh, that's a really good idea. And I'm like, yay.
Very cool.
Try some new stuff, you know?
Absolutely. I really...
Most of the cast is dying at the end of Dark Reign. So I get a whole new cast of Avengers, mostly made up of... The loners and the runaways. So it'll be a whole new book by next year.
Can Deodato make the bedsheet slip a little bit more on Ms. Marvel, please?
No.
Okay.
All right, if you do, you'll see that her vagina looks like Tommy Lee Jones. Thank you.
That's sad. All right. That's
I don't
cool.
even know what that means.
It was creepy, though. You were one of the first to start a message board for fans of your work, and now you're active on Facebook and Twitter.
I don't think that's true, but I'm going to say okay.
Do you think that the Twitter revolution will change the way the industry communicates with fans in the same fashion message boards did?
Well, it clearly is going to change how I relate to Michael Jackson fans. See, I'll be honest with you. I Twittered about Michael Jackson a couple of times the other day.
I saw it.
And I didn't think there was anything that anyone have any problem with. And the... screaming, yelling, pro and con me was so loud. And what happens, I posted, well, we're going to pretend he's not a child molester, should be in jail. And I left the house with my children and my wife, and we're out having a picnic and throwing frisbees and having a good time. And my iPhone kept buzzing. And then I look at it, and I go, oh, Jesus Christ. My wife goes, what? I go, I posted this thing about Michael Jackson, and everyone's losing their shit. And good friends of ours. we're fighting with people they don't know on Facebook in defense of me or Michael Jackson or whatever. It was a madhouse.
Jesus.
For like 6 hours. And I think my wife said, hey, do you have to share every thought you have? And I go, I guess I do.
You know, that really was just the most annoying weekend, and we're at the end of it, thankfully. But
well, almost, because I went swimming with my kids today in the
good
pool.
Good for you.
Laughing Michael Jackson all fucking day, and I was like, oh, good Lord.
Hey, man, my radio station was like, I mean, that's our, 80s is our wheelhouse, so, yeah, we were the home of the Michael Memorial as well, and I had to produce two tribute liners, which are the most jive things that you have to, hey, Michael's dead, and we're really sorry about that. Back to the music. I mean, essentially, that's what it is. And, yeah, with the sincerity of what you just heard. So,
all
seriously,
right.
I'm just like, exactly, I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, I hate death tributes on
all
the
right, here's
radio.
A song called Jesus Juice. Bye, anyway.
But no, I agree. And also, yeah, I'm glad Iran obviously cleared up and the revolution is over because we had all this time to spend on fucking Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Bullshit.
All right. Just wanted to say I'm looking forward to more Ultimate Spider-Man.
By the way, he killed himself. Now we know that. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Good update. Thank you. That was Ryota's last point. He wanted to say that he's looking forward to more Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
From Michael Jackson? Well, it's not going to happen. No. Well,
from you.
Yeah. No. Yeah, they're we got them in the can, brother. They're great and exciting, and I think the first issue is going to be a lot of fun for people trying to guess what happened and how it happened and all that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I don't read Ultimate Spider-Man unless I'm a character in it, so I guess our days are done.
No, you're in it.
Am I back? I thought I died in the flood.
What?
I thought I died in the flood.
No,
survived.
No.
People,
you did survive. People, I saw you.
Oh, awesome, because people obviously clung to me and floated hanging on to me, clearly.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Simpson.
That's right.
Simpson asks, have you gotten into either Mad Men or The Wire yet?
Who Simpson asked this?
Yes, Ben Simpson asked this question.
Ben Simpson, who is so happy about Transformers.
Is that his company?
Yeah, he's DreamWorks. He's DreamWorks.
There you go.
It's awesome.
All right.
Second largest opening ever.
Good for Ben.
I own every single episode of both of those series, and I have not watched them because I am too busy watching The House Bunny last night.
Well, and Wire is obviously brilliant crime. Mad Men is really incredible.
I came to a realization that there is I buy a lot of books this way, too. I buy a pile of books that is the person that I want to be, and then there's a pile of books that is the person I actually am.
I'm nodding my
head. I own both piles, and this is movies, too. I bought The Seventh Seal on Blu-ray last week.
Oh, very good.
But I watched The House Bunny. So, it took a lot of years to realize there's the person that I want to be, and then it's all here.
I understand.
I do not deny that person any of the things that he wants.
That's very funny.
I have a book that I bought that I'm very excited to read about that came out, I think, recently. Two books. One is The Day We Found the Universe, which is the true story about Einstein and his peers discovered that we are in a universe.
And very cool.
And instead, I was reading Xbox Magazine.
Hey,
I was reading every word of Overlord 2's review.
Thank you for making us aware of the Empire Magazine about that Spielberg edited, because I was able to snag it, and it was amazing.
Wasn't that great?
It was
what
very cool.
What a great magazine. Every page was fantastic.
It really was. It really was.
Really find it if you can. It's the best magazine I've ever read.
Evan the Shaggy.
Including some issues of Penthouse Variation, not all of them.
I'm purely the Forum Digest guy. I'm sorry, Ben Simpson, you had one more question.
I thought I recognized you. That's right. Anyway.
Any updates on the new edition of Fortune and Glory? Namely, who's coloring it?
That contract is not signed yet, but I do have a colorist picked, and it will be coming out in December.
Cool.
In a cool new format.
And did I hear correctly?
It's going to be the size of the Little Nemo in Slumberland oversized edition. No, it won't.
Now,
how bad my art would look in that size.
Did you say with Vanita that is it a third Fortune and Glory that's going to be your Marvel experiences, or this one that's going to be Marvel experiences?
No, we're re-putting out like a 10th anniversary of Fortune and Glory, and I'm working on a Marvel Fortune and Glory that's everything that happened up to Marvel. I'm going to do like. You read that Steve Martin book, right?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
So that for years I've been sitting on all this material. I'm like, I don't know how to do this because, like, really, I know dramatically that I do have a lot of interesting stuff that's happened behind the scenes at Marvel and stuff that I've been writing down that would be a lot of fun, some of which we've talked about here. So just narratively would be cool, but really it's dramatically incorrect because things have worked out pretty good, and that's not that interesting.
Sure.
Like, I need to be fired in a horrible crash and burn the likes of which no one's ever seen for a book like that to have any merit.
I got you. I understand.
But when I read Steve Martin's book about and him stopping it right at the jerk,
yes,
I went, that's, there you go. That's the way to do it. That's the interesting stuff. So, so that I'm going to do that.
Okay.
As my comic book version, and that one is in production as well.
Very cool.
And
so,
I don't know if it'll come out this year or not, and who's going to draw it, or if I'm going to draw it, or you know, I just drew the cover to Mike's Rapture book, and I enjoyed that.
Which issue will that be? Because I have the first two. Would that be the third issue or fourth
issue?
Well,
not the first two.
Obviously not.
I think four.
Okay, very cool. And, yeah, that gives me an opportunity because I wanted to mention earlier Mike and Taki's Rapture. I've read the first two issues. They're great.
Mm-hmm. No, they're very good.
Very cool.
Yes.
Hope to be talking to them soon. I wanted to give them newlywed time. I felt like, oh, you know, that was around WonderCon when they got married, and I'm like, yeah, let them be newlywed. Same with Jan Jones and James Robinson. I don't want to bug them on their current bliss. Give them like 3 month newlywed.
Yeah, they're fine now. They come down here and visit. So
okay.
Obviously the honeymoon's over. Put up with this shit.
Evan the Shaggy. Thanks again.
Evan the Shaggy.
Thanks again, Brian, for taking the opportunity to answer our questions. It's much appreciated. He's got three. I noticed the last issue of Ultimate Spider-Man was written with no dialogue. Obviously, well, that was the last one. I've been a fan of that kind of storytelling, but I know it can be a tough sell a lot of the time. What was your reasoning behind deciding to tell the final issue that way?
I was putting it together, and I was writing it normal way, and then as I got through it, I had the very rare feeling that none of the dialogue mattered at all. And so I thought, I put it down for a couple of days and thought about it, because then I said, maybe I just don't need it. And then I thought about it and thought about it and called up Marvel and say, hey, you guys okay with it being a silent issue? I know that sometimes can be annoying to some people because they feel that the amount of time they spent reading it has to match what they paid for it. Like so it doesn't matter how mm-hmm. much they remember it or what it felt like. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So they came back and said, oh, you know what we'll do is we can, because they kind of wanted to add pages to that issue, as it were, and we can really, in the back, you know, do some interviews and or run some stuff that, you know, that's content heavy. That way there's a lot to read as well. So you get the best of both worlds. And then I asked Stuart if he was interested in that, knowing that he would be. I mean, who wouldn't?
Sure.
You know, keep that goddamn balloons off my artwork is what I think most artists think anyhow. So he was thrilled, and then we went. So, yeah, it just I was writing, and I said, this dialogue doesn't matter.
Any hints on
Believe me, I love my dialogue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any hints on the man behind the door who's in Osborn's pocket in case any of the Cabal gets out of line?
You'll find out in December.
Very nice.
It's Ooh. John Sutris.
That's right. I know I got Norman. No, don't worry, Norman. I got your back. I liked.
You know, I'm going to make it a fake Pat on my board, just so he has to buy it.
Was it Dark Avengers 5 where Norman has the Nightline kind of interview?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that issue especially.
Thank you. That was one of those where I went, oh, is this over the top? And then Chaney went on his media run, and I went, God bless you.
Exactly. No, absolutely.
Because I wrote it months before he did that, and then he went and did that, and I went, ha-ha.
Absolutely. Brother Voodoo was an interesting choice for Sorcerer Supreme. I agree. Why did you decide to choose him out of all the magic users in the Marvel U? That's
well,
an interesting question.
Well, quite a few reasons. There was a list of candidates. It wasn't unlike Steven's
search.
Quest there.
Yeah.
It was very similar to the quest. You sit down there, and I went through the list, and I actually brought the list to the retreat a couple of retreats ago because I thought this is something certainly to bring to the room. It's nice to have a lot of stuff. You say, this is what I want to do, and it's also nice to sometimes have stuff and go, here are some choices for the room, and let the room pick, because then it's not so much me just dictating shit. It's you know what I mean?
Sure.
And then it's argued about. And everyone had a really good time with the argument. That's why I kind of hoped that the story would go over well, which it seemed to have. It did, because the room was having such a good time with the story, and even deciding whether it should be Voodoo or Brother Voodoo or Dr. Voodoo or Dr. Drum. There were 60,000 names for him written on a board.
Drum.
That retreat. It was a Drum.
Like
Drum.
Like Ken Norton's movie.
Yeah. So
the sequel to Mandingo. Go ahead.
No, we talked about him, and I brought him as my number one candidate because of the following. I thought the brother thing was interesting. I thought the fact that it was a different – what was very attractive was two things. It was the brother thing and the fact that it was a different sect of magic. It was a different
– It comes from a different place.
It comes from a different place, so we have new rules and new toys.
Absolutely.
And even if he's using the Eye of Agamotto, it's being used in a different way. And then so I spent a few months studying the voodoo, and because I'm Jewish, the Jew-do, I studied that as well. It's not as well known. And
your head should be shrunk right now.
Chicken blood and matzo balls, and so I did my research, and it was quite hard. It's very difficult. It was a very difficult reading, and because there weren't a lot of pictures, and so I went through it all, and it stuck. I mean, and so the room kind of agreed with me, and we went back and forth about a few names for Brother Voodoo. Certainly was the most attractive. The brother aspect is a lot of fun to write, and I did put it out there, but boy, oh boy, wouldn't it be great to launch a series or a mini or something with that, and I had brought it up to my Xbox pals. Rick Remender jumped up and down and said, oh my God, I wrote him as the Sorcerer Supreme in a what if. Like, I actually what if this a couple of years ago or last year or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
He had done this idea in a what if. I still have no evidence that that's true, but he seemed to think he did. And so he became the top contender to do it for numerous reasons. But number one, when someone goes, oh, my God, I want to write Brother Voodoo, you go, okay, then that's the guy to write Brother Voodoo, because how many people like that are there in the world? And so it all came together pretty good. And I told him, I go, I got to tell you something, man. Writing the brother stuff, just as little as I did, is a lot of fun to write. And he's been – And he pitched for it, and he got it, and he's been writing the shit out of it.
That's cool. He's been, yeah. I talked to him on the phone, and he was very excited about it, and was like, "Hey, man, whenever you want to talk." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's." Yeah, I wanted to give it a little space and let it gestate. And I know it's not coming out till November, but I think you're right. I think it's the right guy for the job, and also it gives this great old character a new spin. It gives him a new reason. It certainly makes Doctor Strange interesting again too, as less powerful. So I think it's a win-win. And as much as I think every company wants to create new characters, I was a little worried. I'm like, oh, shit, I really hope Wiccan doesn't become it, because I still think the Young Avengers are interesting as a team and still need time to grow.
Yeah, and that goes right into the story. That's exactly the right – that's how exactly a lot of people felt.
Yeah.
And right in there it goes. Because then you go to the other side. Wouldn't it be interesting if he's the Sorcerer Supreme and just doesn't have his shit together yet?
Right, sure. Like Steven did in 1964 or whatever, yeah.
Exactly.
We so rarely end on a headline, but why not pause there for part one of the Bendis tapes? Part two is on its way, and also more questions coming from the Jinx World message board. Thanks to everyone who participated. And sorry, as soon as we announce it, we get 100 fast, as Brian pointed out. I'm always stunned by that, but it's the truth. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you'll find a wide selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, essentials, you name it, all at discounts up to 40% off the standard retail price. Case in point, Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 9 hardcover, which collects the Ultimate Spider-Man arcs of the Clone Saga and Ultimate Knights, plus there are extras. The standard retail price is $39.99. At InStockTrades.com, you'll get it for $25.19. Don't forget about Bendis' Avenger work, also covered by trades and hardcovers from InStockTrades.com. The Mighty Avengers Volume 1 Premium Hardcover, The Ultron Initiative, which features the work of Brian Bendis and Frank Cho. The standard retail price on this hardcover is $19.99, but at InStockTrades.com, you can get it for $12.59. For all the details, check out their website, InStockTrades.com. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress reminding you to listen to Word Balloon. Come to our website, wordballoon.com. You'll find an archive of well over 200 comic book creator interviews, and more on the way as well in the months ahead. We're heading into convention season. San Diego is just weeks away, as is Chicago Comic Con. We will have coverage from Chicago Comic Con. We'll let everyone else tell you what's going on at San Diego, but still, again, in interviews about San Diego right before the con and, of course, right after the con as well. Our coverage will continue with our one-on-one conversations with the creators making the news. Questions or comments about the show, again, come to wordballoon.com and click on the forum link. You can join us there on the message boards, or you can question me via email, john@wordballoon.com. Follow me on Twitter, I'm John Word Balloon, or you can find me at Facebook as well. Until next time, thanks for listening. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2009.